all the readings that we've heard over the past several weeks and even months only make sense in light of today's scriptures. The narrow gate, the inheritance of the kingdom, the hating father, being hated by father, mother, sister, brother, putting them second, picking up your cross daily to follow me, only makes sense in light of today's scripture readings. The only reason Jesus came into this world was to bring us home. That's the only reason. And sometimes, especially with us within the church, we think it's to make us feel good or to give us some sense of security or to help us have a good life. None of that. He came to bring us home. It begins here, but it ends when we're in the house, the kingdom. Everything about Jesus is about bringing us home. His severe tongue lashings at times, his strong embrace at others, his sensitivity to those who are vulnerable, and his sternness to those who think they've got their act together, all in an effort to bring us home. If only we could get this. Then listen to that first reading. And the first hearing of it, it sounds like God's really, concerned with the Israelites. I can see these are stiff-necked people. Moses, your people. God's, no, they're your people. Well, whose people are they? And what is the intention of that reading? Is it really about the Israelites? I submit it's not. I submit that it's all about Moses. Will Moses have a heart big enough, like God's, to actually care for them, for their salvation? I mean, if Moses is so upset with them, why not let God smite them? He said he would. Stand back, Moses. I'll take care of this with one finger. Beow. Poof. But we see the truth of who Moses is, and perhaps Moses wouldn't be the person he is if God didn't challenge him and put him in these positions to stretch his heart. You and I are put in these positions every day, but are our hearts stretched, or do we close down and cave in? Just think of all of our family scenarios that go on, or with friends. If this was a school mass, I'd talk about how we deal with each other on the playground, the bullying that goes on. But it's not a school mass. So I'll talk about the playground and the bullying that goes on. Because it goes on with adults as well. Things are said or insinuated like, well, I'll do this for you. And yeah, we'll remember this when it's your time to do it for me. And it's usually under a shadow of darkness. It isn't the light that Christ has called us to. It's a bullying tactic. It's not about salvation. It's all about keeping friends. What we've talked about the last several weeks, this phantom communion, false communion, false friendships, because true friends want the best for the other. And the best is our eternal life, not just getting through another 40 years and being happy. There's so much more at stake, but we won't allow the Lord to stretch our hearts when we get in these situations. We quickly cave and say, yeah, Lord, smite them, as opposed to, no, I will intercede for them, and I will go to the cross for them. That's exactly what Moses did. How many times was he put in this position, this frustrating position, of being a father to these Israelites, to being a pastor to the Israelites? And the Israelites wanted none of it. They just wanted what they wanted, when they wanted, how they wanted it, and to blame Moses or God whenever things went bad. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So much of our world today. The Lord allows us to be in difficult positions, like the Israelite-Moses relationship, in order to stretch us, to put our faith into action, into practice, not so that we give in. And so too with the prodigal son. That father could have said, nope, you're not getting the inheritance. Shut up and sit down. Be a good son. But he didn't. Free will. He gave him everything. And when he came back, he ran out to meet him. But there was a sign of repentance. The father didn't leave the farm and didn't leave his older son to go and search for that other son. He stayed where he was. He held his place because the father is in the house. And if the children want to be in the house, the father will bring them in. That's what it's all about. He'll run out, grab them, and bring them in. But they have to have a foot in the right direction. They can't be stepping back or moving back or putting up walls or playing games. There's so much at stake that we just do not realize because we think that this is so important today, that this is all there is, and it's not. This is only the beginning. The image of a baby in a womb could be the same thing. That baby could say, you know, be rolling around and mom, I don't want to, you know, this is all there is and I'm going to spend it all. And if it could have friends, I guess it would have friends and it would be popular and have all kinds of degrees, but it doesn't because it's in the womb. But if it could, it would. And you could sit outside in the belly button and say, no, this is just the beginning. There's a whole world out there. You have to prepare. You have to be strong enough so that when mom spits you out, you can stand up and walk on your own. And the baby would say, yeah, we'll get around to it someday. When I retire, then I'll get serious about God. When I'm sick, then I'll go to God. When I'm in a crisis, then I'll go to God. Let's not be the prodigal son. Let's not wait until we've spent the grace that God has lavished upon us and when we're in dire circumstance and then turn to him. And let's not be the older son either. Just gritting our teeth and trying to make our way through this earth until we get to glory. Doggone it, we'll do it. Cost me everything, and stay with Jesus. It's not what it's about. It's about accepting the Father's love and coming into his house. And sometimes we need difficult situations, like watching our younger sons have a celebration when we ourselves have not. It is called to stretch his heart. That's why the father let the older son experience what he experienced, not to be mean to him, but he needed him to realize that the treasure is the relationship between the father and the son. Whether it be the older son or the younger son, doesn't matter. That's the treasure. That's the inheritance. That's the privilege. How do we see our relationship with God? Something to endure, to put up with, to get through? Or do we really see it as a treasured moment? A moment that we can never reclaim, just like any other moment in our lives with our friends can never reclaim it, can't take it back. Once we've done it, it's done. Let's ask the Holy Spirit this week to give us the heart of the Father. We all know what it's like to be either of those sons. We've all been in those positions, either where we're jealous and envious because of others and what they have, or we're the victim, or we've squandered our health, our intelligence. I've squandered this body. I mean, I should be modeling, and here I am in a parish. We all have been in either of those positions. And I submit or believe that we've also been in the position of the Father where we want nothing more than the best for those we love. But how far are we willing to go? That's the question of the week. Will we be like the Heavenly Father and put us in a position of Moses and the Israelites out of love? Will we go that extra mile on our knees in intercessions for those we love because we believe what the Lord has told us? This is just the beginning. This is not the end. This is the part where we prepare So let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us and to show us in those areas of our lives where we still are like the older son, shriveled up.